We are in SEC country, and this MU study finds how participating in college football bowl games may slightly improve players' academic outcomes. Talk about this study. I find this fascinating.
Sure. This is really relevant for University of Missouri fans right now as they come to the end of the season on the edge of bowl eligibility. What we find is teams that just barely make bowl eligibility, meaning they win six games or more in their season and are eligible to play in a bowl game, for those student-athletes that move on, those teams see a increase in their academic progress rate, which is the NCAA's measure of academic success for athletic teams. And in particular, what we see is that the eligibility rate, so the rate of students remaining eligible throughout an academic year, increases for those teams that do get to participate in a bowl game.
Now, I appreciate, as someone who is on the wrestling and football team from a young child all the way through to high school, the fact that this study goes against the stigma of the so-called dumb jock, because I was obviously an athlete for many years. And so I appreciate this, and it seems to really go against that stigma.
Yeah, we were interested in knowing, because by playing in a bowl game, these student athletes obviously have one more game that could affect their physical well-being as well as mental well-being. They're practicing for another couple weeks, moving on to that game. And so we are really interested to see, does sort of playing another game, being with your football team longer, lead to better or worse academic outcomes, given there's obviously going to be competing interest of time of, do I work on my athletics or do I work on my academics? The bowl game season happens during sort of the end of the fall semester. So oftentimes they're practicing during what would be their finals week. And so we were interested in knowing, does one extra game lead to better or worse academic outcomes? And we were, it was interesting to us, and we found that it actually leads to better outcomes. And I think some of the reasons for that are, one, these students now have sort of a prize at the end of their season. They get to travel somewhere fun. They get to go do some activities that sort of, it kind of keeps them engaged in their athletics. So they want to finish out that semester really well and do better on their final exams. And then two, for some students, they're also staying with their football team and their coaches and advisors. And so they have a lot of support that goes on during those, what would be sort of the month of December, where maybe they wouldn't be as attached to the university or the athletic department and their teammates. And this sort of keeps them together. It keeps that sort of integration with both the university and their football team. And so we actually found that playing in this bowl game leads to these students staying eligible at higher rates. Part of that's the prize. Part of that's the connection, we believe. And so we're kind of pleased to see that this extra game, this extra month of practice does lead to actually better academic outcomes. And we're not seeing worse academic outcomes for these student athletes.
Your research found that the bowl game had no impact on retention rates, eligibility rates, overall academic progress rate scores. How did you find this out? And sort of give me sort of an overview on sort of how you went about gauging the study.
Sure. So we use the NCAA measured academic progress rate. That's their accountability measure to make sure that teams and universities are, that their student athletes are progressing. And it's the measure that can be used to put teams on probation if their student athletes aren't doing well enough on the academic side. So it's a publicly available set of data that measures their academic progress rate, which is a score out of 1,000 that sort of takes into account the retention rate and the eligibility rates. And that's sort of, the retention rate is, do students show up the next year again on campus for that university? And the eligibility rates is, do they remain eligible to participate in their sport given their academics? And so this is all publicly available data. We use data on football teams between 2003 and 2018. So we had a 15-year window of following teams going in and out of bowl games. And so our studies are fully statistically based. We didn't follow individual students, but we followed these rates for football teams across this period and used sort of the data and the statistical analysis to uncover these findings. And that's where we did see a statistically significant improvement in academic progress rate by about 4.5 points. And then we saw an increase in the eligibility rate, which turns out to be, if we translated, we would find that going to the bowl game lead to one extra student remaining eligible to play the sport during the next year. And then these rates don't punish teams for having students, you know, there's a increased rate of opting out of bowl games and then going on to the NFL or trying out for professional sports. And these rates take into account that if someone doesn't finish out their college career and they move on to the next level, in this case, the National Football League, that's counted as a positive value in APR because they are sort of moving on to the next level. And so students that leave their schools for athletic purposes and benefits don't harm a school's retention and eligibility rates.
We're talking with Brad Kurz, associate professor in the University of Missouri College of Education and Human Development. He joins Show Me Today to talk about how participating in college football bowl games may slightly improve players' academic outcomes, according to a recent MU study. I'm Anthony Morabith. And Brad, I'm going to also ask this question because I'm just genuinely curious. I know you focused in this case on football, but could the research you uncovered also possibly be applied for those who participate in college basketball for that infamous tournament that takes place a few months from now?
Yeah, so the statistical design would change a little bit, but the data exists for all NCAA sports, and you could look at this across all postseason opportunities that students could play. And so if we were looking at basketball, the same sort of analysis could be done to understand, given that the NCAA basketball tournament lasts up to 3 weeks, the further you progress in the tournament, you could sort of see, does that sort of increased intensity, where I'm sure student athletes are saying, oh, we're in the tournament, maybe I should put more focus on practicing basketball and get ready and maybe lower the my time allocated toward that academics at that time. You can imagine a similar type of analysis that can uncover whether sort of the benefits of moving further into the tournament, staying an extra week and having an extra week of practice leads to better or worse outcomes. At a school like Mizzou, the NCAA basketball tournament happens right in the middle of our spring semester. So it's right during kind of midterm season. And I know there's lots of academic supports that go on for the basketball team at the time. They can take their midterms. They have tutors and observers that will let them observe their tests, but you can imagine that this is happening in the middle of the semester, whereas football, it happens very much at the end of the semester, kind of through finals week, but then also into the off season. So the findings very well could go in different ways, thinking about basketball or other sports that are occurring at different times of the academic calendar.
Now, we've seen in the news over the past year the story of college athletes now getting paid and how the NCAA recently changed their rules, allowing student athletes to monetize their name, image, and likeness. Do you think that plays a factor into this at all?
Without having researched it, off the top of my head, I would think that the ability to sell their name, image, and likeness would lead them to be more likely to want to stay eligible and be able to play the next year, especially for those students that are earlier in their careers and maybe not at the sort of the end. They're not seniors, but yet they're early on. They're more likely to want to stay academically eligible, because if they lose their academic eligibility, they're going to lose their NIL deals as well. And so in some ways, I think the NIL may lead students to be more engaged to make sure they do remain eligible, because they have these benefits that are coming to them sort of beyond what would be their typical athletic scholarship. Now, the flip side is we're seeing a lot more transfer behaviors because of NILs, and we're seeing institutions sort of recruiting other athletes to go to different institutions based on their sort of skill in how well they're doing in their academic success. So NIL may lead to sort of negative connections to retention as students are swirling and moving to other institutions as they're being recruited with more money rather than simply scholarships and playing time.
We're talking with Brad Kurz, associate professor in the University of Missouri College of Education and Human Development. He joined Show Me Today talking about how participating in college football bowl games may slightly improve players' academic outcomes. Now, let's flip the script a little bit. We were talking about players' academic outcomes. Does this help the teams, the schools, and the universities out at all?
Yes. And so one of the important findings for the institutions themselves or the athletic departments is we did find that playing in the bowl game led to an increase in their academic progress rate, which is the accountability measure that would keep them from going on probation as a team. And so playing in the bowl game actually helps them on this sort of broad accountability measure for them. We're currently working on some other research that actually looks at the finances associated with playing in bowl games and trying to understand, does playing in these bowl games, especially the bowl games that are kind of right on the edge, the lower ranking bowl games, lead to sort of positive or negative net revenue across athletic departments. And so we're in the middle of that study trying to understand, you imagine you have extra costs because you're playing an extra month, you're traveling and all the costs associated with that with the bowl game, but yet you would hope there's going to be increased revenue that comes in from that as well through donations, through the bowl payouts and everything else. And so we're currently trying to sort of look at institutional finance outcomes associated with playing the bowl game, and is playing in the bowl game to sort of lead to net positive revenues. In the past, there's been some teams opt out of playing in bowl games simply because they didn't think that the financial windfall from the bowl game would outpace the cost associated with that extra month of work and the travel associated with it.
Is there actually a way for listeners to possibly access this?
If listeners want to look up my website, just if you Google me, Brad Kurz, C-U-R-S at Mizzou, you'll come across my website. And there is a link to a free version of the paper on my website. Or they could email me, and I'd be happy to send them a version of the paper as well.
Wonderful. Brad, thanks for joining us today. And that was Brad Kurz, Associate Professor in the University of Missouri College of Education and Human Development, joining Show Me Today. And this is Show Me Today, the voice of Missouri.